order this record because it is just terrific. Here it is, Lie of the Land, The Alarm on the Rock and Roll Alternative. That is a tune called Lie of the Land, The Alarm on the Rock and Roll Alternative. That's from their mini album out on IRS Records, and it is terrific, folks. You need to go out and find it. We have just been joined by Bono. Greetings.
How are you?
Welcome.
Sorry I'm late. It's a long story.
But you're here. You're here. That's what's important.
Yeah.
And welcome back to Dallas. Third time through.
That's right. And third time lucky.
This is going to be a big one.
Actually, well, first time was lucky as well. So, no, I mean, this is it. We don't consider that we're coming back to do the same thing again. This is a new band that people are about to see.
You keep playing larger and larger venues. Is the band growing up with the venues, too?
Yeah, I think if you stay in the same place, you become stagnant. Your music becomes stale. So we're quite ambitious as a band, as you probably know. And I feel that we're able to actually to turn those big venues into small rooms. At least that's our ambition when we walk out on the stage.
Boy, you are got to be one of the best live bands I've ever seen, too.
Oh, thank you.
You're all over the place.
Thank you.
I've got a bunch of people. You saw the people downstairs, I guess.
Yes, there's a lot of people outside. That's another reason why I'm just a little bit late. They're really nice people as well. Jealous.
Well, I've got a bunch of people on the phone that have been patiently waiting, and why don't we put some of them on the air? Let's just see what they have to say. Okay, you're on the Rock and Roll Alternative with Bono, Mike, and George here.
Yeah, I just
want to
know about
the Oz Festival. That was very good for us in the sense that I think when you're faced with 200,000 people, there's no hiding. You can't hide behind your haircut, or you can't. You have to deliver. And there's a lot of bands, I think it showed up, that they weren't really bands at all, that they were just part of a sort of production line or assembly line process, and, you know, somebody stuck fashionable heads on various different types of bodies and put them out on stage. But there were a few bands that actually carried, and I'd like to think that you two are one of them. A lot of people, even kind of cynics, people who hated the band, seem to be surprised at the way it worked for us. Again, it is because we're a live band.
Thanks for calling.
Who is that, by the way?
Oh, that was just one of our callers. We'll get names. We'll get names.
Yeah, I'd like to know their names.
What do you think of some of the new bands coming out, like Kaja Gugu? And I mean, there seems to be a bunch of bands like this. I was a little disappointed with some of those bands, but what do you think of that?
Yeah, I just, you know, I'd like to even just start the interview by saying that, you know, I've no real time for this, you know, categorizations of new music or old music. I think
it's all pop.
This group plays U2 music, and that's all that counts. I think the only distinction is between great music and not great music. At the present, there is a lot of not great music about, I think. I think there's the music lacks a lot of soul, a lot of spirit. I think that's what rock and roll...
A sense of humor?
...was about. Yeah, maybe a sense of humor. That's a criticism you could apply to you, too. People say we take ourselves too seriously and have to plead guilty. But, you know, you have got to be able to... got to laugh at yourself.
Let's see who else we've got here.
But we rarely do that on stage. I think it's off stage when we laugh at ourselves. If you're in the company of the Edge, that's very easy.
Okay, you're on the air.
Yes, I was just wanting to tell Bono, I really do like their music, and I've seen them in concert, and I was very impressed with the performance. But I was just curious why you don't do the song Refugee in concert.
What's your name?
This is Annette. I saw you in Austin last night.
Oh, great. There's only one thing about the Refugee in it, is that we can't play it. actually, the Edge has forgotten how to play it.
Oh, I don't believe that.
Well, we were thinking about bringing it into the set, actually. At times, it's really hard pinning the musicians in this band down. It's like, there's a song called A Celebration, I don't know if you've heard of it.
Yes.
It was available on Import. Well, they've forgotten how to play that as well.
That's too bad, I like that song.
You started your set last year with that.
Yeah.
That was the first song out.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, again, for me, performances are a kind of a total thing. And the songs have to fit the mood. We're looking for a certain feeling. Stage, and there is an ebb and a flow, there is a beginning and an end, and we leave songs out if we feel that they're going to interrupt that flow. And though Refugee is a song I'm very proud of, and a song we used to be able to play. It's now it's I'm not sure it would fit in what we're doing on this set either. I think there are numerous reasons.
Well, I also would like to say thanks for playing 40. That's one of my favorite songs, and I thought that was beautiful last night.
Yeah. If you were in Austin, what are you doing here? Are you ringing from Austin?
No, I'm in Dallas. I flew down to see you. I was the one with the beret on last night.
With the what?
The beret.
Hey, I borrowed your beret.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Thanks.
I was just wanting to make sure you saw the no guns button on it, too.
Yeah, I saw the no guns button. I saw you. I think I'd probably recognize you if I bumped into the street.
She'll have the beret tomorrow night.
Will you have the beret on tomorrow night?
Yes, uh-huh.
Okay.
Well, I just want to say God bless you.
Yeah, thanks a lot. God bless you. See you around.
Okay, bye.
Thanks for calling in, Ned. Wow. Well, let's try some more. You've got adoring fans out there, thousands of them.
I think people who do like us really love us. It's not a kind of passing trend with this band. Mm. I think that's true. I think it's true of The Alarm as well. And I could also like to say that I think it's our privilege, and we're very honored to have a band like The Alarm guesting with us. And I recommend people come down early to see them.
Indeed, indeed. Mike is still here if you want to ask Mike anything while we're on the line together as well. Aren't you, Mike?
Hello.
Where are the rest of the band, Mike?
Getting some well-deserved sleep, I think, at this moment.
Hopefully
glued to the radio to listen to this.
Oh, right. Well, this would wake the dead, so I think if they were asleep, they're probably awake now.
Okay.
How you doing, man?
You're live on the Rock and Roll Alternative.
Hi, this is Josh again. I have a couple of burning questions.
This guy's gotten in twice. Go ahead.
What does NCAT dub mean?
It's Gaelic, Josh. By the way, I like people who come back for more. It's Gaelic for the black cat, and
cat looking through Sanskrit. I didn't know what that was.
Yeah, it's uncut dove. It's Irish. In fact, I was kicked out of university for not speaking that language, and quite ironically, I learned to love the language later on. When in school in Dublin, we were forced to learn our native language, and at that stage, it was pretty obstreperous, and I would never do anything that anyone forced on me, and I refused to learn Irish. I think I learned German instead. And when I went to university, it was a national university, and they kicked me out for that very reason. And I've since learned to love the language and regret not learning it, and so it does creep back into the music in some ways. I think we've used the Gaelic in other songs as well.
Also, what's the Latin in Gloria? That impaled audio. I don't know what you're saying.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Do you want a job? I'm losing my voice. I'm losing my voice at the moment, so maybe you should take the stage instead of me. I don't fully know what it means, actually. When we were recording the song Gloria, the song is very much about not being able to express yourself. It says, I try to sing this song. I try to stand up, but I can't find my feet. So the song resorts to Latin, to another language, to try and express itself. A friend of mine was a Latin scholar, and he helped me to get across what I wanted to say. But I couldn't give you a literal translation. Sorry.
Yes, that's great. Can I ask a couple more?
No.
one more, Josh. One more.
Okay, I wanted to ask about the... I saw you on the Tomorrow Show very early on. I think it was your first TV appearance in America.
Yeah.
And it was fantastic. And I was kind of a yokel in this small boondocks up in Wichita Falls, and I stayed up late for that. And at the end of I Will Follow, Adam Clayton, this is kind of directed toward him. I wish he could have been here. But he took his bass, and he took the tuning knob and turned his bass down a couple of frets and made it out of tune with it and kept on playing. It had a really neat effect. I was wondering if he did that ever. In concerts. I thought that was really a great
I think
twist.
That was for the value of, what was the name of, Tom Snyder, that's
yeah.
The guy. Yeah, he's amazing. He's got a really long finger, and he kind of points at us. He asked Edge, he sat down Edge, and he said, what's your name? And
he said the U2s.
He said, yeah, the U2s. We corrected him on that, and he said, the Edge. And he said, oh, that's a funny name. And Edge said, well, we wanted to call me Johnny Carson, but somebody else thought of that. From that moment on, I think we became Tom Snyder's unfavorite band. Actually, he's actually an interesting guy when you get him backstage. He's more to him than his long finger.
Yeah, he prefers Wendy O. Williams of the Plasmatics, I think, so you have to feel a little sorry for him.
I enjoyed that. What was the word you used there, Josh? You said you were just something or other.
you were like, what did you say, you were like 16 or a yokel?
Oh, he was
a yokel.
I don't know where that word came from.
What's a yokel?
I don't really know. I remember someone saying local yokel, and I said, I guess that would describe it, because I was in ninth grade and just sitting up there not feeling any way to find fun in Wichita Falls.
Yeah, I think I should say as well, I don't care where people come from, how old they are, what grade they're in, whatever level people are into the music, I'm into the people. So I'm flattered that you would stay up to see that show, because I was interesting. We enjoyed it very much. I think we went into the audience that night, and that also surprised them a bit.
You ran up there like a Joe King Carrasco.
I beg your pardon?
But yeah, the bells, that first time I heard you in a record shop there in Wichita Falls, a daring one, the bells are what caught my innocent youth heart. And then
you mean the Glockenspiel?
Yes, the Glockenspiel. I wish that was still in there sometime, because that really makes me sing. But
that's interesting. Yeah, we had a bit of an argument with Bruce Springsteen over that. He figured he thought of it first.
Thanks for calling, Josh.
Thank you.
See you around.
Well, I want to play a song. You want to play Sunday Bloody Sunday?
Yeah, right.
What can you tell the people about this besides they just have to listen to it and think?
Well, sometimes on stage I try to explain to people that it's not a rebel song. And basically it is a song about Ireland, where we come from, and about the troubles. It's a song, basically, how long must we sing this song? It says, look, I'm sick of it. There is no right or wrong. There can never be a right or wrong when it comes down to somebody putting a gun to somebody else's head. And as an Irishman, I feel I can make that statement. Some people say, well, we come from the south of Ireland, therefore we've no right to make a statement about what's going on in Northern Ireland, that the bombs don't go off in my city. And I just explained to the people that the bombs may not go off in my city. They may go off 50 miles up the road, but they are made there. Yeah. And so I feel we have a right to sing this song. And it is a song we ran away from for a long time. We were very frightened to make a statement. But now that it is out of our system, I'm glad it is.
All right, you too. And that is Sunday Bloody Sunday off a terrific album called War. In the studio with us tonight, we've got Mike from The Alarm and Bono from U2. And we are taking your phone calls. Bono, I wanted to ask you about something.
Okay.
Here goes. I'm going to save this. We're going to take some more phone calls, and then I'm going to yank this out, and we're going to watch you get surprised. So you want to talk to more people.
Here you go. Sure.
Okay, you're live on the Rock and Roll Alternative.
Oh, good. Is this the guy from the group?
Yeah, look, I'm anybody you want me to be. Who would you like me to be?
To talk to you, I had to make up an excuse, but really, I just wanted to say hi and everything.
Oh, wow. That's well, I'm really taken aback. What's your name?
My name is Holly Jefferson.
How old are you, Holly?
Me?
Yeah.
I'm 12.
You're going to be at the show tomorrow?
Yeah, I guess. I am.
You guess? I hope you're going after this. This is amazing. I've never, Hey, who's laughing in the background? Hey, I want to speak to
my sister.
I want to speak to your sister. Put your sister on the phone, Holly. Come on, what's your sister's name? That's a funny name, isn't it?
Kathleen.
Kathleen.
K-A-T-H.
Well, that's very nearly an Irish name, actually. So she can't be half bad. Let's talk to your sister.
Okay, but hold on. I just wanted to say, you know, that you're an excellent group and everything. I really love your group.
I think you're excellent as well.
Well, thanks. But I really wanted to ask a question about your group, too.
You really do?
Yeah. What's the name?
Wow. It's all happening here.
Hold
we're
on,
called we're called Led Zeppelin.
Oh, yeah. Hi. This is Catherine.
Yeah,
hi.
Real quick, Catherine.
How old are you, Catherine?
What?
How old are you?
I'm the one that had the question. That was my sister.
Oh, I see. But how old are you?
I'm 13.
Yeah, you sound a little more mature and sort of laid back.
What?
You sound like somebody who's probably going to go to the show tomorrow night.
Oh, I didn't get tickets.
Yeah, well, that's why I'm talking to you. After this, I mean, we're going to blackmail you into going.
Oh, really?
Are you the sort of person that's kind of, you're sitting back, you're like, you're you're having a cup of coffee and you're watching TV, or you're listening to the radio to your favorite DJ, and this group like just walks in off the street and they're called U2, say, for instance, and you may not even have heard of them. And you
think, I've heard of
U2. Oh, wow. And you may think, I'll just ring them up and say hello, because that's what other people do. And now that you've got through, you're not really sure what to say. Are you one of those type of people?
What? I'm listening to it again. I'm trying to hear the radio. Okay. To the phone at the same time.
You've got to just listen to the phone. What's your question?
Paul, what was your question?
Well, I've got blue eyes.
Do you like peanut butter?
You're not much of a question, Rob.
5'8" and a good day.
What was your sister's question?
Okay, she wanted to know, like, what it was like on the road. What is it like on tour?
On tour? Well, that's a difficult one, that one. I don't know. I mean, I'm not very good at talking about such things. You know, it's very easy to become a piece of luggage or a suitcase when you're on the road. I'll put it like that. And we try not to. We try to keep our eyes open. A lot of people in our business kind of... It's hip to be bored, if you know what I mean. Like, people say, well, you're on a 2-month tour, that must be real boring, you know, being away from home. You talk to other groups and they find touring boring, and then you talk to them about it being in the studio and making records, and they say, well, man, that's really boring as well.
They like getting the check, though.
And then, you talk to them about, you know, do you like to talk to people or meet your audience or even talk on the radio to people, and they say, oh, no, man, that's really boring. And it's usually them that's boring. So, to answer your question, I think being on the road is like anything else. It's what you want to do with it. You know, if you want to go around with your eyes and ears closed, you can. But if you want to go out and if you want to meet people, if you want to go to the movies like I did tonight, you can do it. If you want to, you know, if you want to go to bed, like the alarm are at the moment, you can do it. I mean, I like being on the road. And I think real bands, i.e., as I think from kind of unreal bands, are at home when they're on stage. I think that's true of both our groups.
Certainly is.
Let's take another call.
Get some sleep.
Hello?
You're on the Rock and Roll Alternative with Bono and Mike. What's up?
Hold on.
Yeah.
I'd like to ask you, which is more satisfying, playing live or recording?
We as a band, we treat the two mediums completely differently. There are times when I've gone to concerts and I've seen a band play, and they've just basically played their record exactly as it was.
Very predictable.
In fact, I might as well have stayed at home. With this group, in many ways, like the Beatles, the Beatles had a belief that stage was very different to the studio. And with us, we just approach them in two different ways. It's far more direct live, far more straight to the heart, straight to the point, far more maybe aggressive. When we're in the studio, we try to layer things. A guy was speaking to us earlier on about glockenspiel and various other instruments that we've used on our records, and we do that so that a year or 2 years or 3 years after people buy our records, they're still discovering new things about a song or an LP. So we layer our records, and whereas live, it's at the moment. You try and capture the moment, capture the feeling of an audience. It changes every night. We don't play the same set every night. We might play the same songs every night, but it doesn't come across in the same way.
Mm-hmm. You seem to haunt Windmill Lane Studio in Dublin constantly.
Yeah, Windmill is more than just a recording studio for us. It's a sort of a home. It's in Dublin. It's on the docks. If you have a copy of October, on the back of it you'll see the Grand Canal Dock in Dublin, and it's just behind there, and it's also a video complex, and that's where we make our videos, New Year's Day and Gloria and Two Hearts Beat as One. We shoot on a location.
So you just walk down the street and there you're in
your
studio.
Yeah, it's like there's a lot of people there who are working both in both sort of audio and visual areas, and it's a complex that we're a part of, because we grew up with it.
Yeah. Now, the band's been around Dublin for some time,
mm-hmm.
and I wanted to find out something. Have you seen this album very often?
It says the DJ picking up an old... What is it? It's a Just for Kicks compilation LP that was released 3.5 years ago, maybe 4 years ago. they're all our band. They're all the bands on the cover. See those names on the cover?
The Ten Commandments and Zebra and Berlin, and not the same Berlin, though, the new versions, Resistors.
Yeah, they're kind of all the garage bands in Dublin. They put together a compilation. It's probably one of the worst compilations you're likely to hear, actually. But I haven't seen that in years, in fact. Where did you get that?
I picked it up in London. Those things are still hanging about.
I'll tell you the good songs on this, actually. This is called Just for Kicks. And there's a, on side two, the track number one, Treasure on the Wasteland, by a group called The Atrix. They were an amazing band. I think that's probably all that I like on this, apart from I do like the version of Stories for Boys.
Well, you want to play that? I've got it queued up over here.
And do I have a choice? Yeah,
I
play it.
I set you up royally.
Yeah. Okay. This is the demo version. This is like, what, 4 years old? This is not the one that's on Boy.
It's 1979, I think.
Oh, yeah.
What was the story? I understand this was a demo that CBS picked up and...
We went to play London and play around England. A lot of Irish groups had to do that because there's no real Irish record companies that are interested in signing Irish bands unless they're traditional artists or very kind of bland pop artists. And so we had to go to England to get a record deal. And the way to do that was to play live and try and show people what you were. And we did that. And nobody wanted to sign us. And CBS nearly wanted to sign us. And they took us into the studio and we recorded three tracks with them, and then they said no, they didn't want to sign us, so we released Behind Their Back, sort of, a three-track EP called U2-3, with Stories for Boys, Out of Control, and Boy Girl, and that single was successful in a funny sort of way, and a lot of people wanted to sign us then, and CBS were quite embarrassed about it.
That's just been re-released now.
Yeah.
I think CBS has just put a...
Well, it was on out in CBS Ireland, but that's... We're on Island Records, and CBS are a bit embarrassed about that, because if you like, CBS England turned us down, okay?
One of the biggest acts to come down the pike in quite a while, and they say no.
And they also made life very difficult for us. CBS England and CBS America are two different companies, and when we turned them down, because they started offering us contracts then, and we were tearing up their deals, because they were basically trying to put us in jail. That's what it felt like, the contract. And... We turned them down, and then they tried to stop us releasing the single U2-3 because it was their demo. But it got out on a single, and it got out on this compilation album.
So this is the way it started: U2 and Stories for Boys. Stories for Boys, U2 from the album Just for Kicks. Good luck finding that one.
I don't know how you did it. I have to credit you. You've obviously done your research, and you know what you're talking about,
just
which makes
a
change.
I'm just a fan, Bono.
Well, it helps. You know, it's funny, because when we started out, we were a bit guarded about talking to people, and we used to treat people in record companies with kind of suspicion, and, if you'll forgive me, disc jockeys, more and more realize that a lot of the reasons why people are in the business is because they were fans, and we are fans.
Indeed.
And you don't have to become part of the machine.
Yeah.
You can still believe in music, even if you've been doing it for 10 years or 5 years. But it is a pleasure to talk to somebody who doesn't know what he's talking about.
Well, let's talk to some more fans. And then Mike's got a surprise for us. You're on the Rock and Roll Alternative.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no, this is not.
No, I mean...
Hello?
You flatter me. Go on. How are you? Who's this?
This is Toby.
Toby?
Yes.
Wow.
Not every day you get to talk to your idol.
Oh, no, shucks. I bet you say that to all the guys.
Oh, God. I really don't have any questions.
Oh, yeah. Well,
can I ask you a question then?
Sure.
Why did you ring?
Excuse me?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, just to say hello.
Well,
are you going to the show tomorrow night?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Hello.
I've got a tremendous crush on you.
We've only met. I mean, for the last 20 seconds already, I find myself falling in love with you.
We could
break her heart. You just got married recently, didn't you?
Yes, okay, but we don't have to talk about that in front of Toby.
We won't tell Toby.
She's a lucky girl.
She's a lovely girl, actually, as well. I'm sure you are, as well.
I guess I'm told I am, but,
Yeah.
Well, we'll see you tomorrow night then, Toby.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling in. Anyways, thank you.
It's a lot of
of really nice people in this
city.
Yes,
there are. Actually. Here's one right here, live on the Rock and Roll Alternative.
Oh, hello, George. This is Terry.
It's Terry.
Yeah, how's it going?
We're doing fine. What's up, Terry? What do you want to know?
Hey, Bono, how's it going, man? Before I get started with my questions, you know, I'd kind of like to say that, well, things aren't musically, they're not too good, but I think your band is one of the best around, and that you've really got the shout in your music. And
thanks, man.
Because I really enjoy it. And my question is, what's your advice for the aspiring young man who likes to, you know, wants to break into the music scene?
Aha, good question. There's a lot of those folks out there.
Let me think. I think there's one thing that I found myself repeating, and which is kind of just to tell people to stop emulating or simulating what they hear on the radio, and try to, as a band, develop their own sound. Nobody wants to hear U2. Nobody wants. I mean, we spent the whole 70s hearing Led Zeppelin 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. Led Zeppelin 1 was okay. It's just when it gets down the line, it starts to wear off a bit. And the same, you know, we've got to look out for the same now, even in the 80s. Everybody is original. You are original, I'm original. We all eat, drink, talk, walk differently. If you apply that logic to your instrument, you should come up with an original sound. I think it's, you know, you can learn from other people, but you've got to be careful that they don't take you over and dominate you so that you haven't got a personality of yourself. And that's the biggest problem in music, and for most bands, is getting over a sort of personality crisis where they have no personality themselves. So you must develop your own sound.
Just be yourself.
Yeah, that's it.
Indeed. Rock and Roll Alternative, you're live on the air.
Well, yeah, I was wondering, since the band is so politically minded and active, that did they get their name from the U2 spy ship that was shot down over Russia during the Cold War?
The answer to that question is no. And this is something I'm glad you've rang and given me a chance. We are not a political group. People are in the media are kind of have been trying for years to categorize the group, and now they think they've kind of got one.
We've got something,
you know. And the reason we put the child on the LP cover was to make the point that this is not war. It's not a political LP. It's much more than that, and it's much more subtle than that. We could have put a tank or an armored car on the cover, and it would have been very obvious. But we're talking about war on many, many different levels, not just national. Okay, the song Sunday Bloody Sunday is about Northern Ireland. New Year's Day does deal in its imagery with the Solidarity Movement. It was inspired by documentary footage, film footage of that movement. But for the most, the LP is not at all political. It's personal. And I think it's the same with the name. The name U2 is just a letter and a number. It's nothing else. Somebody else had thought of the Beatles. we just wanted a name that would make people make up their own mind about the group. That's all. They'd say, U2, what sort of a band are they? Mm. You know, if we'd called ourselves the Snots, people would have said, oh, that's a punk group. Or if we'd called ourselves Deep Zeppelin, they'd say that's a, you know, or whatever. You know, we wanted an original name and a simple name.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
In fact, you never even really brought Ireland up in a song until you did Tomorrow in October.
Yeah, well, it was only when we were uprooted and thrown across half the world that we started to think about where we come from. It's funny, you don't think about what's going on in your own hometown, let alone your own homeland, until you're away from it. And it's traditional, it was writers from our country, if you think of Joyce or even Yeats, he had to leave the country before he started to actually be aware of what was happening within the country. And it was this country provoked me to write about my own, especially during the Bobby Sands incident and the hunger strikes. As you probably remember, people seemed to misunderstand so much. They seemed to think it was a black and white situation, and they're given money to get the British out of Ireland or whatever, and it's just not as simple as that. And we were so sick of it that we had to make a statement. And in making that statement, people got, they're a political band.
Instantly.
And I'm sure that guy that rang up, I'm glad he rang up to give me that opportunity, himself, if listening to the music, wouldn't think that. It's just what people have kind of put across.
Well, I'm glad you didn't go on the front cover of War with a studded belt. You'd instantly have been a punk band.
Yeah.
That would have given them
something. This is not a punk band. This is not any type of band. This is you two.
Right. The boy on the front of the album cover, Surfaced Arn Boy, your first album in the UK, lives down the road from you? Is that right?
Yeah, he's a little brat.
Is that how you busted his lip?
I never even noticed the bruise on his lip until we were developing the photographs.
It's perfect for the album cover.
Yeah, it's like for the first LP cover for Boy, in Europe he was on the cover. In America he was on the inside sleeve. We used to have to bribe him like with chocolate and kind of candies, you call it sweets, we call it, to keep him still, to take the photographs. By War he was getting into it and he would be walking around a room and he'd say, Radar, because that's what we call him. Same as Peter. So, look at the camera. And he'd just turn and he'd look and he'd open his eyes. And there was a lot in those eyes. And I think we captured the moment.
That's a very effective album cover. Mike, you told me that
you got... say, George, your wife is really wonderful. She's really good.
Okay. Okay. I was looking at a cryptic note. We're immersed in stuff here today. Mike, you had a special song you had brought up here.
Yeah, been trying to play this Bono all tour, but I haven't had a chance to do it for him yet. But we'll let him hear it now.
What is it?
You wait and see. I'll tell you about it when you play it too.